A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. One night while Paul was in Corinth, the Lord said to him in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack and harm you, for I have many people in this city." He settled there for a year and a half and taught the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews rose up together against Paul and brought him to the tribunal, saying, "This man is inducing people to worship God contrary to the law." When Paul was about to reply, Gallio spoke to the Jews, "If it were a matter of some crime or malicious fraud, I should with reason hear the complaint of you Jews. But since it is a question of arguments over doctrine and titles and your own law, see to it yourselves. I do not wish to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them away from the tribunal. They all seized Sosthenes, the synagogue official, and beat him in full view of the tribunal. But none of this was of concern to Gallio. Paul remained for quite some time. After saying farewell to the brothers, he sailed for Syria, together with Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchreae, he had his head shaved because he had taken a vow. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God is king of all the earth. All you peoples, clap your hands, shout to God with cries of gladness. For the Lord, the Most High, the Awesome, is the great king over all the earth. God is king of all the earth. He brings people under us, nations under our feet. He chooses us for our inheritance, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves. God is king of all the earth. God mounts his throne amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid trumpet blasts. Sing praise to God, sing praise. Sing praise to our King, sing praise. God is King of all the earth. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. When a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So you also are now in anguish. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. On that day, you will not question me about anything. Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are in anguish now. Would you agree with our Lord? Like, do you feel that your life is such in such state? Well, if so, then you're primed to receive the Holy Spirit. You're looking for more, or you're dissatisfied about something. Jesus is telling us, look, When I come, when I see you again, your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Jesus wants to see you again, and it's not like at the end of your life. It's like today. He wants to see you. So commit yourself to that, and knowing that it's seeing the face of the Lord that will take your anguish away, not a resolution to some issue in your life or more money or whatever it is you feel like you're lacking. And to trust also, to entrust, if it's other people in your life who are causing you anguish, so the state of your children or grandchildren or neighbors, whatever it might be, other family members, relatives, if it's their suffering that's causing you anguish, likewise, know that, hey, God wants to appear to them. And you suffering on their account doesn't really help. Doesn't mean not to care for them, but you pray for them, but ultimately you realize, like, you can't control the situation. You're not God. So you take them into your heart, you surrender them to the Lord, and then you pray, obviously, that God's will be done in their life, and that you will receive the Holy Spirit and be made joyful. Because it's your joy that's going to have the greater impact on the world rather than your misery. The other thing I just want to bring up about this first reading here from Acts of the Apostles. You know, so Paul has that similar sort of vision. You know, he sees the face of God in prayer. And God tells him, don't be afraid. Go on speaking. I'm with you. Do not be silent. No one will attack you. So it's a similar sort of consoling message I think God wants to hear us say to us and for us to hear. And then the very last line, kind of a throwaway, but I've always been fascinating why Paul shaved his head. We know he shaved his head because he took a vow, but like, what was the deal with that vow? I mean, I'm sure Paul took many vows in his life, but why at this moment? Why at this town, Cenchre? And you know, why did he shave his head to sort of promulgate the law, the vow? It had to be something really, really beautiful, but also really personal, because Luke doesn't tell us about it. Now, you don't all have to go shave your heads and make these, you know, intense vows, but there's something about like when you're totally in love with God and swept up into Him, and everything that I've just been preaching about is running through in your life. You're filled with joy. You're not in anguish, so forth. That you just naturally give. You make a vow to God, like, "Hey, I'm willing to do this for you, or I'm going to give up that." And it's not a burden, but it's just like adding to your joy. And then you do some sign of that vow. Again, not as a show off boastfulness or to add to the burden, like shaving your head, but you know, it's like a reminder of how beautiful this is, the way like a husband and wife might wear a wedding ring. It's not, they're not handcuffs, but they're symbols of beauty and a reminder of that. Not saying, again, go out and make a vow, but maybe that's a grace to pray for, that you might get to that point where you just naturally make an intense vow for Jesus Christ and then do something for Him like Paul did. Amen.